So, you have a new movie for me? Yes, sir, I do. It's a live-action adaptation of the Sword in the Stone movie from 1963. Okay, so what's the plot here? I'm assuming it's the same as the old animated Sword in the Stone? Oh, sure, yeah, basically. Just with more realism, and gritty emotion, and metaphorical trauma, and gray color grading, you know, for depth. Uh-huh. So, Ward finds a sword, becomes Kane, Merlin's his mentor, and we get a whimsical, magical coming-of-age story. Whimsical is cancelled. This version, full on prestige fantasy vibes, trademark. Ward, sorry, Arthur, is a scrappy orphan raised in a village with low lighting and suspiciously attractive peasants. Why are they attractive? To give the trailer something for TikTok edits, obviously. Anyway, Arthur doesn't believe in himself until he pulls the sword, but here's a twist. He doesn't want to be king. He wants to be a blacksmith, a humble life, forging stuff, character depth. So he's a reluctant hero, revolutionary. Exactly! And Merlin isn't a kooky time-traveling wizard anymore. He's an ancient immortal who's very tired of humanity's crap and wears muted cloaks that make him look like a medieval hiker. Think Gandalf meets Moody Podcaster. Does he still turn them into animals? Yes, but in a symbolic way. Each animal transformation represents Arthur confronting a part of himself. A fish, vulnerability. A squirrel, fear of intimacy. A bird, freedom. But also taxes. Wait, taxes? Yeah, we slip in some Kingdom politics, like how feudalism sucks, and how Arthur inherits a broken kingdom. Classic fix the monarchy with empathy and sword skills arc. Do we still get Madame Mim? Oh, absolutely! But now she's reimagined as a tragic anti-hero, Merlin's estranged ex, wronged by the Wizard Council for reasons. They'll have one massive CGI-heavy magical duel, and it'll definitely look like two elderly folks hurling Game of Thrones-style fire at each other while Koi Nietzsche. What about the actual Sword in the Stone? You know, the title? Ah, yes. The sword is no longer just a sword. It's a metaphor for destiny, for identity, for the weight of societal expectation. When Arthur pulls it, he doesn't just become king. He becomes every young person's ever said, oh no, not this pressure. And the action? We're going full medieval gridcore, handheld cameras, mud-slick battles, spears in slow motion. Someone would probably scream, I never asked for this, while riding a horse into fog. Wow, that's incredibly moody. So who's playing Arthur? We haven't decided yet, but it'll be someone from a Netflix teen drama who suddenly discovered cheekbones in sword training. And the ending? Arthur gives a long emotional monologue about creating a new kind of kingdom, one built on truth, fairness, and a suspiciously modern understanding of democracy. Then he swings Excalibur in a wide shot and we fade into soft piano music over the new Imagine Dragons song written for the credits. Of course we're using Imagine Dragons. And don't worry, we got a Disney Plus spin-off in mind already. It's called Merlin Before the Beard. Origin story, whole vibe. This is gonna be insufferable, isn't it? Yes, but prestigious. Okay, hold on. We're gonna backtrack just slightly, because I think my brain is melting out my ears. Why does Arthur want to be a blacksmith? Because it's humble, grounded, relatable. Think, I don't want power, I want peace and self-actualization through artisanal labor. He wants to forge his own path, literally and metaphorically. Get it? Oh my god. You gave him a career he never had any interest in and made it a clunky metaphor. We live in a post-industrial metaphor-driven film landscape. You either forge your own sword or you're just another pawn in the monarchy machine. Right. And is anyone actively being awful to Arthur as per the original? Of course! Sir Ector's still here. Now he's a disillusioned war veteran who believes only nobles can lead and blacksmiths should know their place. He makes Arthur clean weapons in the mud and mutter about real kings being born, not made. Cool, so still jerk. And Kay? Still a meathead, except now he's got a man bun and constantly brags about his swordplay. He gets stunked up by Excalibur's sentient glow at the end. Wait, Excalibur's sentient now? Not like talking sword sentient, but glowing. Pulsing, whispering ancient power into Arthur's head in a way that definitely doesn't imply future madness. So, we're foreshadowing the fall of Camelot? Always. You gotta plant seeds of doom in every frame, sir. That's prestige fantasy. Okay, fine. Let's talk about Merlin. Isn't he supposed to be, you know, whimsical, a little kooky? He does dishes with magic and time travels, and has a wizard beard that somehow radiates dad energy? Nah. This Merlin is more traumatized immortal who's lost faith in humanity, but trains Arthur out of obligation. No dancing dishes, just cryptic riddles, emotional repression, and one scene where he contemplates turning to smoke and disappearing forever. He sounds exhausting. He is. But mysterious. Now, please, I am begging you. Explain what the hell is going on with the female squirrel. Ah, yes. See, in the original film, there's that whole bit where Arthur gets turned to a squirrel and a lady squirrel falls in love with him, right? Right, it's played for laughs. It's weird, yes, but not sinister. Well, we decided to take that moment and make it deeply unsettling by accident in our version. That squirrel, her name is Guinevere. Guinevere. As in Arthur's future wife. Exactly! So when Arthur's turned into a squirrel, he meets her, they have this emotional connection, but then he gets turned back into a human and she's devastated. Right, because she's a squirrel. But wait! Twist! She makes a wish to become human, to be with him, and Merlin grants it. Merlin makes a forest squirrel a human woman because she had a crush on an orphan blacksmith boy? Correct. He feels sorry for her. It's a metaphor for agency and heartbreak and, transformation? Did you just write a rodent-based reverse Little Mermaid subplot into a gritty Arthurian remake? Yes, and guess what? She doesn't tell Arthur till the final scene. Just as he pulls the sword, she looks him with human eyes and says, I was always with you, even before I had a voice. That's not profound, that's a deleted Twilight subplot. And then we hard cut to black. Wait, what? Boom! No coronation, no epilogue, just the existential horror of realizing you fell in love with a magical woodland ex-girlfriend. This is the worst pitch I've ever heard, and I greenlit Mulan 2020. And yet, don't say it, we both know it's trending on Twitter by tomorrow, God help me. Give it a $200 million budget and a Morricone-style composer would call it The Sword. Gritty, minimalist, soulless, I hate it. But it's prestige, baby. Fine, but no score romance sequel. What about a prequel? Get out!